This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village with more of the Spiegel and Hone Show, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
It is Spiegs and Grody on the Spiegel and Hone Show here on 670 The Score. Yesterday on the show, me and Lawrence Holmes, who is off today because he's at Rick Camp's wedding. Rick Camp.
It's a big deal.
In Tuck Studio. Did that work? In Tuck Studio?
I don't get it.
Rick Camp in studio?
I don't get the in Tuck. Is that where
tux.
You're?
Tux.
Oh, because he's in a
tuxedo?
Tux.
No, it doesn't work.
Do we have evidence that he's wearing a tuxedo?
We do not, and it wouldn't surprise me if he wasn't.
I need that evidence.
Cargo shorts and a tuxedo t-shirt.
Maybe a hoodie. Maybe a nice hoodie.
The question is, my question yesterday was how many Kevin Durant references made it into the ceremony?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and is the wedding venue decorated in some sort of NBA theme,
right,
or apparel or love,
right,
of some sort?
And as Campy walks down the aisle, are they playing the intro music from the I'm Fat podcast? Is there a tuba involved?
That's the Family Guy tuba, right?
It absolutely is.
May I say,
yes,
Rick Camp, congratulations. I said it, but I want to say it again. This is a big deal for Rick Camp, and even though I was not invited, and maybe it was a second-tier peripheral. I don't know. We didn't really hang out. That, even though, and this is something I like to do, is make people feel uncomfortable for not inviting me to their wedding.
Yeah.
Even though I wasn't invited, I want the best for Rick Camp.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So do I.
I do feel better that you guys were not invited either.
No. I too. I got to tell you, today, I wish I was invited.
Yeah. Lawrence is winning.
I said no because Speaks wasn't invited.
But Shane, come on, man.
Yeah, no, I don't want to be here.
This would have been a fabulous day to have been invited to Rick Camp's
wedding. I want to be at Real Time, but I don't want to be doing a show today. Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Unlike Wani, who will join us, yeah. I actually am available always.
Yeah, you are.
That's why I am here.
You're never doing something.
I have done some of the weirdest shows ever throughout my Score days,
give me that list.
The draft pregame show with Alyssa Bergamini that we did with Gabe Ramirez in studio.
This is a good segment. I like this segment.
Yeah.
We're going to do the all-dog team, which is really going to be fun.
I don't want to go any further.
No, I'm done. I want to talk about the weirdest radio shows you've ever done.
Oh, my God.
Because doing a show.
Doing a show today
after the Score and Dan Bernstein have parted ways, which happened at 1:50, and then at 2:00 we addressed it. And you're going to hear that again at 5:25 for anybody's meeting, anybody who hasn't heard it. This is one of the weirdest radio shows I've ever done, but I don't think it's number one. My number one weirdest radio show. You want it?
9/11.
Oh yeah, I was doing a show.
Other than 9/11, how about that? Because that was just.
I did a 6-hour show at Sporting News Radio once, and the first hour and a half was before the Super Bowl. The middle 3.5 hours was during the Super Bowl. And the last hour was after the Super Bowl. I did a show that included the Super Bowl. I counter-programmed the Super Bowl on a national sports talk radio network.
Wow.
You think people were listening?
I do not.
Let me, what were the numbers?
Nice background noise.
What was it?
And the best was me trying to do post-game if I'd watched the game.
Absolutely
and people
not.
Were like, you know what? I wonder what Matt Spiegel over at Sporting News Radio. And it was a pretty good game. It was the David Tyree catch. Giants and Patriots Super Bowl.
And you're talking about the Oakland A's while that game is going on. What's Billy Beane doing?
Absolutely thankless, awful radio.
That is wild.
That's mine.
I think one of and this might be the oddest show that I've ever done. There was a time in my Score life where I was working full-time at BBM, and the Score would use me to fill in occasionally. I would do, or I don't even remember what I was doing, whatever, that's inconsequential, but I would fill in a host, and one of the people that they put me with, Drew Hayes, would put me with Bruce Wolfe. Would put me with Bruce Wolfe.
I'm so sorry.
I love Bruce.
Nobody does.
So we did a show together. We had a good time. I'm the one who likes Bruce Wolfe. So we did the show.
Like and love her.
As
things.
You can imagine, it was a ridiculous show.
Of course it was.
As
I remember
imagine,
you doing that show.
Yeah, it was a just as ridiculous.
I remember the few times. At NBC Tower?
Yeah. Yes, at NBC Tower.
Okay.
At NBC Tower. So it was a ridiculous show that I don't know if it had full support of even the Score, of everybody at the Score. So anyway, so with that as the backdrop, there was a Bears player back in the 2000s when I was working doing the show with Bruce Wolfe, Gaines Adams, who died.
Oh,
do you remember
God.
Gaines
yeah,
Adams?
Of course.
It was a big deal because he was
good. I don't number 90. It was a controversy when they gave him number 90.
Oh, why? Because that was Alonzo Spellman's number?
Oh, did they retire it? There's something about the number. Anyway,
okay,
carry
but
on.
Anyway, so he dies It's the morning that Bruce and I are doing this Saturday show, which is a ridiculous show, and this is the most breaking of breaking news possible.
Yes.
And so here we were talking about this guy.
January 17th of 2010 is this show.
2010. Wow, okay. Wow, all right. 2010 is when that went down, and Bruce and I did this show about this guy that we didn't know anything about that had died on the Chicago Bears, and it was just, we got through it, and it was okay because we just put on guest after
That's
guest
the
after
worst.
Guest.
That's the worst.
And I wasn't so Bearsy back then. So
that reminds me of our
no, I was actually. What
former,
am I saying?
Our former colleague Dan McNeil was did some shows at ESPN Radio at one point in his life, and he was doing a show the day that Dale Earnhardt died. And he hated car racing and didn't know anything about Dale Earnhardt.
That is radio
and
hell.
And had to do like the Dale Earnhardt thoughtful eulogy show.
McNeil had to do that? Yes. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes.
Listen to this one. About 7-8 years ago, there was a time where we were just like trying out different younger hosts that weren't traditional sports talk radio hosts, right? But we would do it off the air. So Mitch would have me come in at like 8, 9 p.m. and we'd do it from the production studio.
Amazing.
I did 3 or 4 different practice shows with Jordan Cornette, Tim Doyle, and Ryan Cheverini.
Wow.
It was the four of us doing like practice shows, and then we would see how it would sound and send it off to Mitch. And
wow.
It didn't sound bad.
I bet it didn't.
There was a time where like, oh, hey, there could be a Score minor leagues and we could have, you know, that kind of thing, which is great for the bench, but different times.
Let me say that a Score minor leagues or a Score bench would be a great thing to have yet again. I, Mark Grody, came through the Score bench.
Yeah, you did.
I was a producer in the 90s. For Dan McNeil and Terry Bores, for anybody who doesn't know, I was Meat Pants on the Heavy Fuel Crew show back in the day. And I was offered the chance to host between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. on a Saturday night into Sunday. And, excuse me, that was the big show. 10 to 2, that was the big show. That was Generation Next. It was Matt Fishman and Jonathan Hood, who now hosts with Dave Kaplan. I was given the chance to host from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. from Saturday into Sunday. And that was my show down the stretch with Jason Griffin. That's where I learned to be a Chicago talk show.
Who's Jonathan Griffin?
Jason Griffin.
Oh, Jason Griffin.
Jason Griffin. For a while, he was the voice of the Toledo Mudhens.
Okay.
Play-by-play guy.
Hey, if you could get the play-by-play voice of the Toledo Mudhens, you bring him in.
I think it was when he was working for AP, he used to wear, like, men's thong sandals to cover games, and it just used to gross me out.
Really?
Yeah.
A texter says, why is Spiegel invading Grody's space? It's a very strange look. Jenna Duddleston, who does our video stream, is noticing. I'm over here. Truth is, I need Mark Grody's strength and warmth today.
It's a weird day. It's a weird day on the score. Honest a lot of emotions. Yep. And
It helps me to look at Shane this way, too. We all need each other.
Right. We do.
We all need each other.
Right. It's a strange, odd day in which we're allowing emotions to come out and keeping them bottled up, too, to some degree.
It's so true. It's a balance of all those things.
It's a balance, folks.
Woo! All right. So, look, Joe Cowley is an acerbic and hilarious MF-er. I almost said it because I'm starting to get that looseness that settles in.
Bring it out, baby.
Joe Cowley's a funny dude. We were talking Bulls with him yesterday, where me and Lawrence, and he started talking about Patrick Williams, something that he observed on the road trip that he's on now. And Joe Cowley has come to a conclusion on Patrick Williams, which got us thinking. Listen to this from yesterday.
The name you brought up that I'm just done with, Patrick Williams.
Yeah, man, tell
us. I'm just kind of done with him. There was a point yesterday, the modest dunk, where he dunks, he gets fouled, thrown to a cameraman, he's laying down. The whole bench is standing up, clapping, going crazy, all except 44, just sitting there. Coaches are up clapping, his teammates are up clapping, kind of walking on the floor to make sure, and you got one guy who's just sitting there. I'm just kind of done. I'm done with him.
Wow.
He needs to hit rock bottom now, and unfortunately they gave him a contract where – I think he has lost his love for basketball, and he's would probably dispute that. But I just see a guy that happens to be built like that, happens to have a skill set, and happens to got paid, and just doesn't give a damn anymore. And so, I kind of saw that the last year with Adam Dunn, where it was just a guy that would rather be in a deer stand, but he just happened to be able to hit 500-foot home runs. So, hell, why don't he do that a couple times a week? And that's kind of how Patrick Williams is kind of rubbing me right now, where you've gone through different coaches now. They've had to find different coaches because mentally you don't like this coach and you're not that good, dude. They should give you a ball boy until you figure it out. So I'm just kind of over him. I'm kind of done with the excuses. And it was a bad draft pick made even worse because Arturis couldn't admit he was wrong and opened up the checkbook and gave it to him. And now he's giving it to the Bulls.
Wow. I mean, where does it rank among Arturis' mistakes to not realize this and cut bait via trade or simply not sign as opposed to empowering and doing what he just did? That's got to be very high on the list of mistakes then.
It's the biggest mistake he's made because he compounded it. He wouldn't admit that the guy doesn't have it. He wouldn't admit that he took a sixth man from Florida State who couldn't even start because of the body and the build, and just didn't look at the man, and now we're stuck with a NBA player that's built like a guy that should be 2010, but he still wants to play like a child, and it's just, and then he paid him on top of it. He paid him. He didn't even let the market set the price. He paid him because Arturis had to show he's smarter than everybody else.
That's really strong, good stuff from Joe Cowley, and I don't disagree with the drop of it. And we had hints over the first 4 years of Patrick Williams' time here that this was who he was. And that's why the decision to pay him is so egregious. But now here we are. He is paid, and he is acting and playing like a guy who doesn't care enough to be great. And so that's somebody that you look at and you say, unfortunately, he's a dog. That guy is a dog. That guy is a player who does not try to be the best version of himself. It's unfortunate. He's a dog.
He was supposed to be a 20-10 guy whose game was compared to Kawhi Leonard at its maximum. He's a 9-4 guy who got paid $90 million over 5 years.
Oh.
So, yeah, on 44th pick of 2020, that's the Anthony Edwards draft, by the way. Guys drafted above or behind him, I mean, there's plenty of them, that of consequence, Tyrese Halliburton.
Yep.
But a lot of people missed on Halliburton. Tyrese Maxey as well. Those are the two names that stood out. Now, like I said, that was a weird draft. I remember all of us knowing nothing about Patrick Williams. But the weirdest part about Patrick Williams coming out was that he was not a starter in college. And there were a lot of people saying, don't worry about it. This is a prospect. It's no big deal. That's not the way things work these days.
Yeah.
Like this is the modern NBA player. And unfortunately, it feels like our worst fears came true.
I think it does. And so now that has me thinking. And this is why we need you, the smart and wise Chicago sports fan, to help us fill out the all-dog team. Because this is a very specific category. This is
true.
These are players who don't care and did not care. And you watched it. And it's best, frankly, if they're players who were paid and did not care. So, you know, it's if you watch somebody get a contract and then just not give a crap, it makes you crazy. It makes you insane. And he loses the respect of his teammates and his coaches. And he loses the respect of the fans. And then you, in the end, you have to say, man, there's no other way to say it. That guy is a dog. So I want you to think about who these people might be to fill out the all-dog team. Let's go one at a time. Let's take our time and discuss these players and see if they merit being on the all-dog team. You can text it in at 312-644-6767. I took the liberty of reaching out to some solid old salts of the Chicago sports landscape. Our friend Steve Rosenblum.
Oh.
Our friend Mark Potash.
Mm.
Who else did I reach out to? Joe Cowley. So far, Rosenblum, Cowley, and Potash I texted asking for their submissions for the all-dog team.
Where do you want to start? Because I actually...
Give me one.
I have... All right, the first one I'll...
Because I have
at least one from every team.
Okay.
I am going to say...
Because there's a real obvious one in recent memory.
Well, I guess...
Should I start there?
Go ahead, because it's so
let's
easy.
Start there together.
Just to help people.
Because it's too easy.
Right. This is an example of how we play the game.
Nate Davis.
Nate Davis
is the bear on the all-dog team. He's one of the bears. Tell people.
Nate Davis, who signed a big contract 2 years ago to be with the Bears, was never available and not interested in playing football for the Bears, and subsequently was a big bomb and one of the worst on Ryan Poles' watch. So Nate Davis is a great example. A guy who gave up with the Bears, wanted to go play ping pong ball instead of talking to me.
That's how you knew.
That's how I knew.
You knew that he was toast. He didn't even want to talk to
Put
you.
Put his hand on my shoulder and said, "I'm sorry, man. I got to go play ping pong."
All right, that is a no-brainer. So far we have off the list. All right, yes. You got another one? Give me another one, because that was too easy.
Okay, what team do you want it to be from?
Whatever you want.
Okay, I'll give you one more bull here. There was a player for the Chicago Bulls who in 2001 signed a five-year, which was a big contract, that $30 million deal. His name was Eddie Robinson. Do you remember Eddie Robinson?
Of course I remember Eddie Robinson.
Oh, my God. Eddie Robinson, who was, it was Jerry Krause trying to get cute again. Like, oh, I got this guy, man, I'm telling you. Because he'd only averaged like 6 points before he came to the Bulls.
Yeah.
But he's like, this guy, he is the bleep. He didn't care. I remember going, Eddie Robinson barely played for the Bulls. I remember going up to him with a microphone and asking Eddie Robinson, do you feel any like, you know, since you got paid so well, do you feel like guilt? I don't know if I use that word. Do you feel like you're more responsible? And in the microphone, he just goes, nope. And I said, okay. I didn't even have a follow-up.
That is phenomenal. I didn't think you'd go there. That's great. That's Eddie Robinson. Yes. Textures are flying in with some suggestion.
Okay.
But Shane, who you got?
Okay, so this is a player who the White Sox did not even want to have. In 2009, after the trade deadline, during the waiver period, the White Sox put a claim in on Toronto Blue Jays outfielder Alex Rios in an attempt to block him from being acquired by the Twins.
This is 100% true. It was only to block the Twins.
Amazing. The White Sox had a full outfield already of Carlos Quinton, Scott Pedsednik, and...
Jermaine Dye. Yeah.
At that point, Alex Rios was having a good year. The White Sox were in the middle of a division title run, right?
Yeah.
In that year, it is 35 games, 43 games with the White Sox.
Uh-huh.
41 games with the White Sox. He had an OPS plus of 35.
100 now, is the standard.
100 right. league average.
That's a now, good thing to point out.
He
yes.
did bounce back in subsequent years and had decent years with the White Sox. Had a 21 homer year, 25 homer year. But that one reason that they
name.
Had him, Alex Rios is my
very dad. Good.
That's a great name. The thing about Alex Rios, he had a very easy swing and an easy gait to him where he had that thing where it looked like he was not exerting effort, but it was kind of slow and smooth. but I think he was legit also not exerting effort. So I'm not quibbling with it at all. I'm just saying he's one of those guys who looked like even worse of a dog.
But he also came across as a guy who, you see why like people fell in love with him as a player. He had the 5-tool potential. But to Shane's point, a dog. What do you have for us? Do you have one, or would you like to give us one of your sources?
No, I'm gonna go with one of recent vintage.
Okay.
That like 30 texters have sent in.
Okay.
Yoan Moncada.
Oh, that's good.
Needs to be on the all dog team. Yoan Moncada is a dude who got paid and was much more interested in the dancing, the song making, the drinking,
yes,
the cavorting. And much more interested in all of those things than he was the trying and the play.
His resting face is, I don't really care about baseball. It really is, and he's accidentally very talented.
It was incredibly obvious.
Yes.
All right, I'm putting down Alex Rios and Yoan Moncada.
And Eddie Robinson.
And, I mean, look, Cowley gave us Adam Dunn description.
Yep, I'm marking that one off
my list. Which is just perfect. All right, texters are flying in with more, and I've got my sourced information from our grizzled old Chicago Salts.
I have a great Blackhawk and a borderline Cub I will share with you on my list.
I hope it's the Blackhawk I'm thinking of.
And I have, probably is. And I have a bear that should be pretty obvious to people, too.
Let's go. It's the all dog team getting assembled. Feels good to hate on other people here on The Score.
Yes.